Yeah, I'm working on a book about Chicago and Parmley's transfer and the railroads, and I expected they'd have a big file on such a well-known Chicago name as Parmley, but little by little the stuff shows up. I've been able to find a good deal of family history, a good deal of many photographs, a lot of information about the railway stations and how they provided transfer service for the railroads, also delivered the baggage. Big baggage business in the early days. We don't think about that nowadays. When we were flying, we jam the smallest thing we've got and the lightest thing we've got into the airplane. That wasn't the way people traveled 100 years ago or 150 years ago. They had what they call a steamer trunk. And that's a giant box, almost like a portable closet. It's heavy when empty, can weigh 150 pounds when full. And so you had to have people to move that stuff. And Parmley's transfer would, you either walk by and see him or sell him a telegraph, and then they'd go out, pick up your trunk, deliver it to the train station, get it put on the railway car, and then they would be waiting for you and wherever you were going, Oakland or Chicago. Chicago, that's where you're leaving from. And they did the same thing in reverse. If you're coming into Chicago, you could catch a Parmley agent and then tell him you want the bag sent. They'd ship the boxes. Sarah Bernhardt used to go to Chicago on tour, and they say that she bought 24 steamer trunks. She would bring all the costumes she needed for all the possible theatrical performances she had been or ever might be in. So in those days, it's very different from now. The railways didn't care. You know, weight wasn't a problem. The railway cars on the ground. And they had usually a lot of space in the box cars. They didn't do it in advance and put in another box car.
When we were little kids here, where the duck pond is here, right across the street, that was a hobo jungle in there, and I used to camp there at night, and there'd be fire going, and making a little soup or coffee, and it was just kind of a swale in there, and a lot of eucalyptus trees, and so they'd be camping there. But in the 1930s, there were a lot of hobos around. My mother would say, "Don't go over there, they'll put you in their pack," and they weren't interested in little kids. They got for some wine or something to drink. Come on the train, and they'd stay in town here for a day or two, and work your side of town a little bit, see if they could get something to eat, and then they'd knock on your door and offer to work, you know, weed, cut weeds, or have wood to saw or whatever, and my mother sometimes give them a bowl of soup or something, and then put a mark on your fence, a piece of chalk or something, and some other guy come along for you the next day. I guess they said, "This is a good cook here," or something.